Session number 16720, Bob Wilson, Reel 4.
Mr. Wilson, Reel 4.
When you got back to the... At what point in the depot did you start using and training with the rifle?
About the second and third week.
And did they again explain to you...
Then you were chasing on the grassy part. And you were... Of course, you'd been... The rifle had been explained to you in the barrack room. But then you were taken outside and showed the various positions how to fire. The lying position, the kneeling position, the standing position. This was demonstrated by the NCOs, the Corporal Gray and Lance Corporal Welch. They did the demonstrations on the ground. You watched them in a sort of half circle around them. And then when they asked you questions about, have you anything to ask? Have you any questions? No, squad. No. And then you did it. They got to you, and they told you to lie on the ground and put your legs correctly for the lying position. And they used to come down, kick your bloody legs like that. You know, it did. But that was it. And now that was boring. Because you had a rifle, but you had no rounds, you know. They give you blanks. And they would issue 5 rounds worth of blanks in a clip, you see. Show how to put, but we'd already been shown how to put them in the clip by the NCOs in the barrack home. And you loaded with the blanks, put your safety catch on, and stood at ease, and he used to say, load, and he used to lie down on the ground in the lying position, take a position up, get your rifle, and aim at an imaginary target. And they used to come down and check behind you, see what you were lying like, see what the rifle was lying like, and things like that. But that was boring, because you would do nothing, weren't you? Then they would say, well, have the kneeling position. Well, you go up and you knelt on one knee, and you put your arm on that knee, and you put your rifle up there, you see. And the standing position was worse than when anybody ever stands up to fire a rifle. Nobody. But that was it. And you had blank ammunition, so therefore you couldn't, nobody could get hurt, you see. And you did all your rifle drill with blank ammunition.
What rifle was it?
No, not blank ammunition, no. Not blank ammunition. Dummy ammunition, sorry. My apologies. Dummy ammunition. Blank ammunition is ammunition that fires.
What rifle was it?
The Enfield. Marcus rifle.
Did you like it as a weapon?
Yes. Yes, I liked it anyway. Because that's all we had. We had the Lee Enfield and the Lewis gun. And, of course, the Maxim. That was our firepower.
Drilling with your rifle, what did they teach you there?
The what?
The drilling, the initial drilling with the rifle, what did they
teach you? Oh, yeah, that was on your drill parade. You went out with your rifle and you were told how to slope arms and trail arms, present arms. All that was done, as again, by the two instructors in front and then by your own self, by following the instructors. That was hard work, drill. That was it. So you got over it.
Again, you did it to numbers, did you?
Pardon?
You do it to numbers.
Always, everything at the depot was done by numbers. If you went to the toilet, you did it by numbers. That's what they used to tell you. Now, when you go to the toilet, you're saying 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Everything was in, and you always called it out loud. Of course, then it sank in, didn't it? Sank in.
So drills? Weapon drills, rifle drills, and teaching you how to hold it and so forth. What other kind of training did you get in the initial period?
Well, those days there wasn't much to do. Recognition. But there wasn't much recognition to do, you know, the old aircraft and things like that, you see, and naturally tanks and half trucks, things like that. You would see, that was all done in a schoolroom, you know, and you were showing that that is a half truck belonged to the German army, Marxists and such, you know, and that's in there, that sort of thing.
Did you get into route marching at all while you were at the depot?
Well, route marches, not much. We did our usual thing on the square and things like that, but then we went on not a route march, because it was the moor, but we went on a march across the moor. No arms or anything like that, just across the moor. We did no route marches as such, as route marches. So we got down the battalion.
Did you have to do this at light infantry pace from the beginning?
Always.
Right from the very beginning?
From the very beginning. And by God, it was funny, that. Yeah? Yeah.
How was it funny?
They were going like the clappers. And of course, everything when they weren't marching, you know, if you're on your own and you're going down to the square and you're going down maybe to the cuckoos. And the sergeant shouted at you, or the corporal shouted at you, or anybody which was above you shouted at you, you doubled there. Didn't march, you doubled. Did you need arm?
Were you introduced to any other weapons other than the rifle whilst you were at the depot?
We were shown, but not. We didn't. The only other weapon we were shown at the depot was the Lewis gun. But we were just shown it, saying that we would get our training at the battalion.
Did you ever come in contact with the commander of the depot?
Oh, yes, regular.
What was his name?
No, that I cannot remember now.
Do you remember any of the officers that were there with you?
No, it's a bit too far. It was pretty stuck up those days, man. They were, yeah, yes. Your life was really the corporal, the lance corporal, and the sergeant, and the company sergeant major. Of course, in your company commander. But that was it.
You mentioned that you didn't particularly like Corporal Gray.
Yeah, he was down to earth. And if you had any bad chat, he clipped you. And he said, if you want any more, get down to the gym and do it again. That sort of man. But you knew how he stood with him, you see. Yeah, I liked him. I really did. He was a great big flat nose. Frightening life out of you. Looking at him, no matter what.
The other NCOs that you had, what were they like? As men?
Well, of course, they were doing the job. And it was a hard job to get somebody out of City Street into some sort of resemblance as a private soldier in 6 weeks to go to battalion. So it was a hard job, I reckon. And I've thought about this a lot lately and realised how hard a job it was. For me to be walking about Leslie down Seaburn on a Sunday night in civvies, and I'm doing it like the pace a week after. I reckon, in fairness, a good 75% were okay. You've very soon got a bullion. Lance Corporal Welsh, as I said before, he shouted up, but he was in contact with it all the time, you see. But Corporal Gray was in his little room, you see, so he wasn't in contact, but Welsh was. So he was the one that had to whip you into shape.
Was there any method of making one of the recruits senior to the others?
No, that was taboo. You mean senior soldier sort of thing. No, that happened when they got out of the barracks, battalion, see. But not in the depot, that all out the beam. I'll tell you what you got at the depot, which is sort of roughly what you're talking about. There might have been a recruit in the squad before us, you see. And maybe he'd gone sick, so therefore he didn't finish his training. So he was put into the next squad of guns. So he was the old soldier, you see, according to us, because he maybe just had 4 weeks training. So he was the old soldier, he was the gaffer. But he made himself the gaffer. Yes.
In your leisure moments in the billet, you have said you were very busy, but was there any gambling taking place? Did the gamble?
Gambling? Well, I never gambled, you know. And you know, you hear these people talking about brag and things like that. Well, I only learned that I went in the army, and I didn't gamble myself. I never have. The only gambling thing that I played is Mahjong. And I love that game. That's the only reason I played. We used to see the odd couple of cards in at night time, you know, especially after payday, having a game of pontoon and things like that on the bed. Well, it was illegal. Yeah, it's illegal gambling. And you had to wait while she was out the road before they could have a game, you see. Because he maybe was going a weekend pass, you see, when it was only Corporal Gray that was in charge. Well, he never bugged you. As long as you did your job, he never bugged you. So that's when they had, in the battalion, it was different, man, in the battalion.
Coming into the army from your home life, you didn't have a great deal of privacy. You had these people around you all the time.
There was no privacy.
How did you take to that?
Well, it was a new experience, wasn't it? Entirely new. Although I hadn't been money coddled and things like that, I was still on my own and my own little boss at home. I had to do as I was told, but I was still my own. And then all of a sudden, there's 30 people around you. And it was a very new experience, and I think a nice experience. Yeah.
How long was your training, the depot?
6 weeks, roughly.
Where did you move to then?
Catrick, Bonds Lines, Catrick.
And the whole squad would go with you, did they?
Everybody went down there, yes. Mm-hmm.
What happened to you down there when you got there?
Then he got down there and... on the square again, everybody shouting at you, you know, I said, here we go again, you know, we got rid of that. You know. Of course, with the RSM, then, RSM Marks. Great big man, great big ginger moustache he was. And he called us all a horrible name, but we'd never done a thing around here. You know. What was it said to Corporal Gray that took him? This is Corporal Gray. Yeah. Where have you dug this lot of from? It's a terrible man, man. And then we were split up, you see. A couple of commanders were there then, and they would say, right, I'll have the first five for A Company, and the first B and C, and do the five to the machine gun section. And that's how you got sorted out.
Where did you go?
I went to A Company. Foot sluggers.
What was your accommodation like down in the barracks there?
Much the same as the depot. Much the same as the depot. But you seemed to have more time. Because there was more helpers because they were used to it. They had the old sweats there. Maybe someone had come back from India and somebody, you know, the old sweat there. And they put you right and helped you.
Yeah. Nobody tried to take advantage of you?
No. Well, not that I know of, mind. Not that I know of.
Who was commanding A Company?
I know the Sergeant Major was Sergeant Major Brown. Seabag Montefiore.
What was he like?
Well, typical. You know, stuck up. Proper stuck up. He never bothered you, man. The only time they bothered you is if you're on a charge. Eh? It's a crown of Cairnine. Man, they always went to, if the company was playing sports, you always saw them there. That's one thing about it, they were always there.
You've mentioned your Sergeant Major, what was he like?
He's all right, Tupper. Yeah. Not wrong, all right.
And you were in A Company. Which platoon were you in?
4.
So you'd have a platoon leader?
Platoon sergeant, yeah.
Who was that?
Can't remember my hands. No. Anderton. And he was a land sergeant. He wasn't a sergeant, he was a land sergeant. Land sergeant Anderton. Damn good snooker player and billiard player. Battalions, you know, brigades. Plough, Anderton.
Do you remember any of the NCOs in your company and platoon?
Are you coming again? Well, I'll put that to thought, and I'll try and pin a few down. I mean, I doubt it, you know. I doubt it. But then I'll try.
Where did the training...
Rags Fairclough was our sergeant, and he came from Sunderland. Rags Fairclough.
Do you remember what he was like?
Yeah, I remember. A great big tall lad he was. And he come from Sunderland, and he come from Fulwell. So I was over the moon with him. And he was a battalion footballer, and eventually I was. Not a boom me law, you know. But I got on well with him because he was a townie, as I call him. Tall, lovely fella. He got killed during the war.
How was your training organised in the battalion?
How
was your training organised? What did you do for training?
Oh, you did all sorts then. It was a full week's training. But you only did 5 days. Monday to Friday. And Wednesday was a sort of... And the day off, as we used to call it. You did practically nothing. And it was like... that was when your company matches took place, you know, in the battalion sports and contests and things like that. Oh, it was all right. Once you got in the swing of things, it was champion.
Were your drills just an extension of what you'd been doing?
The drills were just an extension and more of it. And you soon got used to it, you know. Soon got used to the idea. And you could get up in the morning, have your bed up in the crack, you know, once you'd been there a couple of months. No problem at all.
Was it easier than the depot, or more difficult?
Oh, a lot easier. As I've said, there was people there who knew what to do, you see. Well, people at the depot, like myself, was just learning. So we all had to do our own, hadn't we, with no help. But there, if there was any trouble at all, I mean, if you were on guard, the chap next to bed to you would say, okay, I'm Tug, you should call it, and Mike always says Tug. Right, I'll make your bed. You get yourself down, get yourself washed and shaved. Things like that, you see. You used to forget about things like that.
Can you take me through the process of going on to guard?
Yes.
How did that come about? What did you do?
Well, first of all, you used to read the detail sheet, it was called, the company detail sheet, every day, to find what you were on. You could be on fatigues, you could be on nothing, and then all of a sudden you're on guard, or you may be on picket. Now, these are two different things altogether. A guard is a 24-hour job, and a picket is from night time to reveille. You know. But guard, a 24-hour job. Now, your name's on guard to go on guard on Friday. You always get 2 or 3 days' notice, you see. And then you tell your mates you're on guard, and then it starts. So, if it's it might be a guard where it's just Benton sidearms, if we used to have gone, or some guards, you know, used to have the full pack and things like that. Quarter guards, they are called. And they were a nuisance, because there was no sense in the reason about it. Inside your pack was 2 lumps of cardboard to keep it straight. That's true. That was half the trouble with the British Army, cardboard. Couldn't get enough of it. With Benton sidearms and rifle, that was all right. Well, what happened then, you read it, and then, oh, maybe your mate would say, hey, Tug, you're on guard on Friday. Oh, bloody hell. But never mind. Then the mucking in came. So Tommy Jones would take your belt away, and your buckles, we say, take all them, leave that to me, he would do that. Your bayonet scabbard, well, that had to be polished with a, see. And the next door neighbour, I'll call him neighbour, would do that for you. Your boots, one each, across the, you know. So the only thing that you had to do was to say, check your uniform, do your collar dogs, and everything like that, and see that part of you was ready. Now, when guard starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, of course, you had to be up in the morning of the valley. Up, straight down to the washhouse. Wash and shave. Another shave. because you hadn't got checked on guard, you were on the charge, automatic on the charge. Washed and shaved, then another shave, then back to the barrack room, and your bed was made up. Okay? So you knew you had nothing like that to worry about, and your kit was laid out on your bed. So all you had to do was start getting ready. And as you were getting ready, so was the lads helping you. I mean, you never even tied your own bootlaces, you know. They tied all that for you. You put your belt on, you know, and you down it move in case you crease something. And that's the way it went, and that's the way it went in, I don't know what happens in the other battalions, but that's the way it happened in their company, in our battalion, anyway. Everybody helped each other on guard. Now, picket, you got yourself ready, because they counted that as a bonus. Because you went down at 6 o'clock at night, you know, and you came up 6 o'clock in the morning, there was just side arms. That's all.
What would you be guarding?
You tell me. I could never understand, and I don't believe, they walk along the veranda in the guard room, starch shirts, starch trousers, abroad, or creased trousers, polished boots. Well, they're no more good to anybody as a guard, are they? They can't do anything. Now, we'll pick it a different kettle of fish altogether, although he still has to be tidy. He patrols. He makes times. But two of them patrol. Eh? But I've always said, it's a show, really. That's odd, it's a show, but I think it's a waste of time.
How many would be on a guard?
Well, there's always six. Two on, four off.
Would they come from your platoon?
Oh, that was not necessarily the platoon, no, they'll come to the company. Yeah, company, yeah.
So you would have to parade for this guard duty. How did that go?
Oh, yes, well, after you got ready, you know, your own company sergeant major would have a look at you. Okay. And if you passed him, you were pretty safe. Well, anyway, we weren't allowed to go any farther until it was put right. Lance Corporal did it in the barrack room, and the corporal did it, and the sergeant. I mean, then the sergeant major had a look at it, and then you went up there, fell in on the square, and then now he's another. I hope this is recorded, because it's a complete waste of time. You went on the square there, and you stood on the square. Now, this is peace time I'm talking about now, which is entirely different to what it is now. You stood on the square. And then the old officer came to inspect you. And you were standing there, ramrod style, you see. And he used to inspect you, look at you, tell you to lift your boots up. See if you had four studs down one side, four studs down the other, two on the top and two on the bottom. True. Seems like that. Now he'd been up about half an hour, and we'd been up 3 hours. He used to, and then. Those days there was a thing called stick ordinary. There were seven people went on the square, you see, seven people on. And one of them was picked out as the best dressed, best turned out. And what he did was, he fell out. He did no more guardians. Took his rifle back to the company, and then took all his other gear off, you know, took his swagger stick and went to the ordinary room, and he was really the messenger boy for 24 hours. But the night time was your own, you say.
And was it some kind of an honour to be selected stick boy?
If you got three sticks, as it was called in those days, off the belt, you know, I was on this Monday, God, and I got the stick. Fortnight's time, I was on another one, I got the stick. And another fortnight, I was on three sticks in a row, I was excused guards for 3 months. So you can see the competition. And you can see the platoon competition then.
So there was a platoon competition going alongside the individual one.
Yeah. I know it's cheating, this, but when we could afford it, which I did do, we had a spare pair of boots, you know, and a spare pair of this and a spare pair of that, you know, in our lockers. There was nothing else but ceremonial parades. Shining tools, shining heels, you know. Laces ironed. Have you ever heard the likes of it? Laces ironed? Well, you know. and everything had to be numbered. You know, they would say to you know, if it was a touch, so suppose it was a touch and go between you and I, and the army officer, you saw the battalion sergeant, battalion sergeant was with them. Well, what do you think? You know, well, I can't separate them. Right, Jones, take your left. We had anklets then. We went and pushed. We were. Take that anklet off. And you look inside, see if your number was on. And maybe the two numbers were on. And then it would go on and on and on. And they would say, take your hanky out. I haven't got a one. Take your hanky out. And he got the stick. Just not because it's part of his dress. Because he needed a hanky. Well, lots of little that you learned those tricks as you went along. But the thing I disagree with the army, and I've always said it and I'll say it today to anybody, is a big parade on. The private soldier, you know, gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning. For 11 o'clock drill, and he's going all the time. The officers don't. And I think it's wrong. I always do.
What did the duties amount to as a guard?
Well, all you do is you stood there on shore and walk up and down the. I should swear, up and down the veranda.
What was the rest of the guard doing whilst.
They were in the guard room, just sitting down with the. You know, whatever, or either on the beds or on the form at the table. And then every 2 hours you get relieved. It comes out with Tommy Jones to relieve you. You're relieved on the ground and then you go back. But still you're not allowed to take your boot off. 24 hours, you see. Because you haven't, if the guard's called out, you can, you know, you haven't time to fasten your boot, yes, I say.
Were you likely to be called out on a guard duty?
Oh, you get called out once in a while when the only officer visits you. You get once. Or you could be very unlucky there. The CO might be out for a booze up in the officer's messing up. I'll have a walk across the guard room. But it's very rare.
Was the visit by the orderly officer unexpected? You didn't know what time he might be coming?
Oh, no.
Was there anyone else in the guard room other than the guard itself?
It was the guard commander, the lance corporal, and your six guardmen on duty.
Were there ever any ones who'd got themselves into trouble in the guard
room? Oh, in cells? Oh, yes.
Who would look after them?
Well, you were supposed to look after them, mate, but really, the regimental police did that sort of job for you. But at night time, when they were off duty, that was your job. You had to guard them, sort of. But they were locked up. Eh? Locked up.
How did you get food to you as a guard during the course of your period of time? How did you get food? How were you fed? How did the food come to you?
Oh, that comes from the. That's sent up by the. Whatever company's on parade sends it up from the cookhouse. They come up in Dixies, you know them Dixies that carry. Comes up there, and that put on the table. And dish it out and get your dinner. Sergeant, guard commander sits on his own because he's posh, you see. We just sit on the table and have our dinners, or whatever. And there's always, through the night, you know, there's no meals tonight, but you could always go down to the cookhouse and get tea. Because the cook sergeant wasn't on duty. But the cooks were on duty all night, weren't they? See? Getting ready for them. You could always go down and get a pot of tea. We used to go down to Dixie, you know, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
You would send someone down?
Eh?
You would send someone
down?
Well,
the guard commander would say, aye, to slip down the course and get a Dixie full of tea there. Eh? And don't be bloody long. Eh? And we used to go down and get a Dixie tea.
You said it was for 24 hours? Coming off guard, what was the procedure?
And then when you came off guard, you sort of. Well, you never did another thing that day. So you were sort of excused duties that day. You came in, took all your kit off, you see, took your boots off, put something on nice and easy, and then started sorting your kit out for the next time you're on, you know.